Albert nodded, so he continued.
Which of you started the contact?
Stacia, Albert replied.
For some reason, she seems
fascinated with me. I tried to warn her off, but she persisted.
I'll be back later. I need to get going if I'm going to make the appointments I've already agreed to.
Good day, and luck be with you,
the bartender replied as Albert set out. As Albert left the bar, the owner motioned to Stuart, seated at his usual table.
Stu, we need to be having a talk about that one.
Albert left the inn sedately, then started to jog to the Portal Guild to get a portal to Stormguard Fort. Just as he was about to pass through the graveyard, a sharp blow hit the back of his head, stunning him. As he tried to regain control of his body, a sharp pain pierced his back just as it had the night before. The same two debuffs appeared on his bar. He wanted to yell at the attacker, but all he could do was topple over as he was pushed. The same voice from last night came to his ears a moment later.
This is two. Only one more death to go until we complete our contract. Remember, it is unwise to upset the House of Gildan.
The assassin let Albert see the knife for a moment, before his throat was cut again. Albert wanted to scream in rage as the assassin cleaned his blade before vanishing, just like the night before. 2 minutes later, he was alive again, with his anger still high. Taking a deep breath, he started jogging for the Portal Guild. He was a little calmer, but still angry when he got to the tower. Entering, he saw it was busy, with several groups gathered in the waiting area. He took a moment to look over the crowd in the waiting area, but didn't see anyone he knew. Sighing, he went to the desk where the helpful receptionist sat.
Morning, sir, and welcome back. Where are you off to today?
The Stormguard Fort, actually,
Albert replied, his anger abating some at her friendly smile.
Taking an easy day today. That is always good to do once in a while. There are a number of groups heading there today if you want to try and join one of them.
She paused as Albert shook his head.
I'd rather just pay the gold and sit in line. Last time I asked about joining a group, it almost went very badly, and I'd rather not deal with idiots today.
He set a gold on the desk. He had felt slightly bad about not paying in full for Stacia right away, but he knew he was going to need coin for the portal.
Of course, sir. Take a seat, please. And thanks again for coming to see us for your travel needs.
Albert gave her a small bow before he went off to the waiting area. He went by the group of muscle-bound idiots from the day before, who were also waiting for a portal today. Finding a seat out of the way, he pulled out his mind stone and sent a message to Karen, letting her know he was waiting on the portal. He also sent messages off to Mary, Gerald, Dr. Frank, and Fluffball, letting them know that he knew of a quest that was about to start. A moment later, his mail icon lit up as he got a message from Karen, telling him she would wait for him. She was already at the fort. No other messages came before the portal mage took him to the portal room. He tipped a gold to the mage, thanking him before he stepped into the portal. He took a moment to get his bearings before stopping at both the merchant and smith to offload the junk in his bags. Coin in hand, he entered the fort proper looking for Karen. As he passed through the doorway, he felt a tap to the back of a knee, causing his leg to buckle. He turned that into a roll, coming to his feet as he spun to face a smirking Karen.
Glad to see you're still ready for a fight, Karen laughed as she tossed him a group invite. You ready for some fun?
Albert shook his head ruefully.
Should have known that was going to be you, and yes, I am.
He accepted the invite with a smile.
I let the few people I know that there's something afoot, but no one has replied as of yet.
There are a few steps before the boss spawns. We can get some of them done ahead of time, Karen said, eyeing him with a quizzical expression before her lips quirked up into her normal smirk. So, have a good night or a good morning?
Head tilting slightly in confusion, Albert shrugged.
I had a good night. A nice hot soak followed by a massage.
Ah, so a happy ending then,
Karen said, nodding her head.
You seem way more relaxed today.
Understanding dawning, Albert chuckled. No, I didn't have a happy ending during the massage, actually. I was seduced by the masseuse this morning, though. And let me tell you, she knows what she's doing.
Darn. And I wanted to repop that cherry tonight. Karen Mark pouted.
On the plus side, I'll last longer now that I'm not all pent up from 5 years of fasting.
Albert grinned.
Putting on a pensive look, Karen nodded.
You do raise a good point. We shall have to see. But first, let's get this ball rolling.
She stepped over to Sergeant Jasper.
Sergeant, I have something you might be interested in.
Jasper looked up at her.
What do you have?
Karen took the scroll from the goblin messenger from her bag with a flourish, before handing it over. Jasper read the scroll, his eyes widening.
The commander should see this. Follow me, please.
He tugged a bell pull and a private came running up.
Man the desk for a moment, private.
Jasper led them up the stairs, then down a hall to another set of stairs. Two guards were posted at the base of these stairs, looking bored but alert. He held a quick muttered conversation before he motioned again and the trio went up. He led them to the first room where the door was open. Stepping in, Jasper coughed softly.
Sir, I bring news and the ones who brought it.
Jasper saluted from the door. An old man with thick white eyebrows and a very thick mustache looked up from some paperwork, returning the salute to Jasper, then eyeing Karen and Albert.
Very well, Sergeant. Bring them in and tell me what is so important.
Jasper nodded, coming to stand before the desk flanked by Karen and Albert. He handed the scroll to the commander and fell into parade rest. Albert mirrored Jasper subconsciously, but was a touch shocked when Karen did the same. The commander eyed them again for a moment before reading the scroll. Pursing his lips, he nodded.
You did the right thing, Sergeant. Return to your duties. I will speak with these two alone.
Jasper saluted, marching out of the room with a friendly nod to Albert as he went by. Albert returned his gaze to the commander, who was studying him.
Tell me, are you the one my men have been talking about the last few days?
The commander's eyes were hard to read as he studied Albert.
Possibly, sir,
Albert replied, coming to attention.
You sparred with them and showed them some unarmed combat techniques?
Yes, sir.
Very good.
The commander's eyes turned to Karen briefly before going back to Albert.
Will you vouch for her?
I have trusted her with my life in combat on multiple occasions, sir. I will also say she is more talented than I am when it comes to hand-to-hand combat. Nodding, the commander turned to Karen.
You have not worked to garner our favor, but since he vouches for you, I will consider you trustworthy for the mission to come. I want you to plant false evidence on a goblin patrol near the Orklands. If you will leave the messenger bag with us so we can set up the decoy, it will take us 2 hours to have it ready to go.
Karen saluted.
Yes, sir.
She pulled the messenger bag out and set it on his desk.
Very well. Return to me in 2 hours. Until then, you are dismissed.
The duo saluted and marched out of the room. Albert was a little surprised at how well Karen managed it. As they got to the hallway, Albert coughed quietly to get Karen's attention.
So, why are you so good at mimicking military protocol?
My dad was in the service for 20 years, Karen shrugged. I was raised on military protocol. Might be why I've always been a tomboy at heart.
Chuckling, Albert shook his head.
We have 2 hours to kill.
How about that friendly sparring match?
You want to go all the way back to Stormguard to spar?
Nope. Follow me, please, he said as he led her down to Jasper.
Sir,
Albert said, giving a salute to the sergeant.
I need a favor.
What do you need, Albert?
Permission to use the training room, sir. This beautiful woman is going to kick my ass there, so if you and some of the others want a good laugh, come and watch.
Jasper eyed Karen dubiously, then nodded.
Give me 5 minutes before you begin.
Albert nodded, turning back to Karen.
So,
about that match.
Oh, why not?
She smirked as she flexed her shoulders.
Lead on, and we'll see if you can keep up with me.
Albert had led her to the training room, where he'd sparred with the men a few days ago. As they limbered up after setting their gear aside, a small mob of soldiers came in lining the walls. Jasper came in a moment later with a smile on his face. Albert nodded to the men who called out to him before he addressed the crowd.
Men, you were all impressed by what I showed you the other day. Pay attention today as I spar with this opponent. It should drive home the point of what I was trying to teach you.
He turned to Karen and bowed to her.
Are you ready?
Karen came out to the middle and bowed in return, before standing up and getting into a balanced stance.
Bring it, Cream Puff.
Alberit, Human Summoner, Level 12. Strength, 17. Agility, 17. Constitution, 25. Intelligence, 38. Wisdom, 42. Charisma, 25. Health, 850. Mana, 1020. Spells. Demon Skin Rank 2. Demonic Retribution. Summon Least Imp. Fire Blast. Sap Strength. Demonic Haze. Summon Lesser Destroyer. Demonic Vitality. Fire Burst. Abilities. Personal Spells. Flame Weapon.
Sparring.
Alberit slid forward on balanced feet, closing the distance slowly as Karen stood there waiting. He knew he had reach on her, but she was more practiced than he was. He attacked, only to have her dart back out of his range. A smile came to her lips as she continued to avoid his attacks with ease. Alberit knew he was being measured and toyed with after a minute, as none of his attacks had come close to landing where he wanted them, or even at all.
Well, this is fun, but I think it's a bit lacking,
Karen said as the next attack missed.
Let's get started, shall we?
She came in low, attacking his knees. Alberit danced back, but felt her connect with his leading leg as he pulled it back, breaking his balance. She didn't give him a chance to regain his balance, but kept coming. He found himself entirely on the defensive, trying to block or avoid her attacks, which were faster than his had been. Alberit knew he was outclassed, but he couldn't help but smile as Karen kept after him. He hadn't been challenged like this in years, and he felt joy that he was being tested again. However, his thoughts reflecting on the past cost him now, as she finally caught his knee hard enough to make him fall. As he dropped to the mat, he tried to roll away, only to find her glued to his back as her arms caught him. She wrapped his arm and got her legs locked on him for an armbar and applied pressure. Albert gasped as she exerted enough pressure to cause real pain. He tapped the floor twice and sighed when she let him go. Popping to her feet, she smiled to the men who applauded her.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Alberit got to his feet slowly and let out a deep breath.
I'm so rusty and out of my league.
Don't worry, I'll beat you back into shape. 2 hours is what the commander said, right?
Karen's eyes sparkled.
We can go full contact here, you know. It's not like you'll die.
Alberit flexed his arm as his health replenished and the pain faded.
True, but I'm at full sensors and I doubt you are.
Karen shrugged, then seemed to fiddle with the air for a second.
Okay, now we're even. You ready for round two at full contact?
Shaking his head, Alberit replied, I'm so going to suffer. But yes, I accept the full contact match with my superior.
He finished with a full bow to her. Chuckling, Karen bowed her head.
I'll be glad to put you back together later.
For the next hour, the duo sparred. Alberit was only able to win a submit from Karen once during the entire time, while she got him well over a dozen times. Once they finished, Jasper came forward and bowed to them both.
I wonder if you would mind walking us through a few of those techniques.
Quest. Teach the Stormguard Fort Guard some martial arts. Reward. Reputation increase with all Stormguard Guard factions. Karen blinked and bowed her head.
I would be glad to.
We will be glad to. But a large class would not be the best. Give her the 20 best guards you have to teach. Alberet interjected, looking at Karen, who nodded.
Okay,
Jasper replied, pointing out the 19 lucky guards.
The rest of you are dismissed.
He turned to the duo.
Okay. Myself and these others are your class.
Alberet nodded and started off to the side to take a seat.
All yours, Karen.
Karen snagged his shirt.
Oh, no you don't. I'm going to need a training dummy, and you're it.
Sighing, Alberet nodded.
Should have seen that coming.
A wicked smile creased her lips.
If you're really good, maybe I'll ice you down later.
Karen spent the next hour in instructor mode, teaching Alberet to demonstrate the techniques she was teaching the guards. They stopped when a messenger came, calling the duo back to the commander.
All right, we're done. Good job! Just practice those moves with each other until they're second nature,
Karen said as she grabbed her gear.
Thank you both, Jasper said, saluting them.
Quest completed. Teach the Stormguard Fort Guard some martial arts. Receive. Increased reputation with all Stormguard Guard factions. The pair returned the salute, then followed the messenger to the commander. Karen chuckled.
Well, that gets me to liked with the guards here.
Oh, good. Maybe I won't have to vouch for you anymore,
Alberet said.
I forgot what a good, long, hard session was like with a skilled instructor.
I thought you said the masseuse was skilled. I'm sure that was a long, hard session, wasn't it?
Karen deadpanned.
Shaking his head, Alberet grinned. Oh, she was. Somehow I think you can outdo her in some ways, though.
Should I accept that challenge or not?
Karen smirked, but fell silent as they were ushered before the commander. The commander looked up as they came in.
Welcome back. We've changed the mission. The satchel contained plans for the goblins and orcs to team up to attack the forts. Instead of planting false information, your mission now is to disrupt a key meeting that is to take place to the south. Any questions?
Quest. Stop the goblins and orcs meeting in the southern province. Reward. 20 gold and increased reputation with all Stormguard guard factions.
So we just need to find and break up the meeting?
Alberet asked.
A goblin messenger and an orc messenger should be meeting somewhere to the south. Intercept and kill them,
the commander said before dismissing them once they accepted the quest.
Alberet saluted before turning on his heel and leaving,
Karen's actions mirroring his own. Once they were out of the office, Alberet glanced at Karen.
So, what's the plan?
We can jump to Stormguard and take a portal to the keep closest to the orcs. Or we can just go south killing stuff as we go. Once we're done, it will be easiest to port back to Stormguard.
I'm free all day, so what do you want to do?
Let's just take a portal. I don't feel like spending hours trekking south,
Karen said, pulling out her homestone.
Alberet nodded. See you there shortly.
Alberet paused as Karen vanished and buffed himself with everything he could, then used his own homestone. He appeared in the graveyard with no one else near him, so he took two steps towards the portal guild, then suddenly thrust both hands up and spoke, Ground Zero. A blast of fire filled the space around him in a 30-foot circle that left only him untouched by the flames. He heard a grunt of pain from behind him. Alberet dove forward and rolled to his feet, turning while pulling the maul from his back and invoking the flame weapon.
I was going to kill you nice and easy again. But now I'll do it the hard way.
The same cloaked figure who had killed him twice said, as he patted at a scorch mark on his cloak. Twirling a dagger, the enemy sheathed it and drew a different blade from under his cloak.
"I hope you enjoy pain,"
the enemy hissed as he took a step forward and vanished. Alberic glanced at the inn just in time to see Stuart stick his head out the door.
"Stuart, could use a hand,"
Alberic said as he started backing away from where the assassin had been.
"Seems I have an assassin trying to kill me for a third time."
Stuart came out of the building looking thoughtful.
"How many times are you supposed to die?"
3. Already died twice, but this time I caught him with a fire burst."
"That seems a touch excessive. Who did you piss off?"
Alberic shook his head.
"Can we talk about it later? Right now I just would rather not get killed again."
Stuart shrugged. "Assassin, can we talk?"
The man in the cloak appeared right behind Alberic, the knife pricking his back just enough for the poison to be applied.
"No need. He is dead, and that is the last of it.
Try not to piss off House Gildan again."
The poison spread quickly from the small cut on his back, causing Alberic to seize in pain. Gasping and falling to his knees, he only vaguely heard the assassin speaking as his muscles began rhythmically spasming. The pain of his muscles forcefully contracting was intense, making him shake as each wave washed through him. The assassin smirked at Stuart as he walked off. Stuart waited a second, then went to Alberic and checked him.
"Ooh, nasty stuff. You're losing 5% of your health every second, and it's going to hurt worse as it drags on. So the simple thing to do is this."
Stuart put his hand on Albert's back and said something. A brief flash of heat filled Alberic. Then he was floating above his corpse, and Stuart was standing up wiping his hand. Stuart hung around until Alberic reappeared a few steps away.
"Better to just end your life quickly than let the poison keep hitting you."
Alberic closed his eyes as he bit down on his anger at having been killed yet again. His voice came out rough and harsh.
"Yeah, thanks for that." "So you pissed off Gildenhouse?"
Shaking his head, Alberic opened his eyes to look at Stuart.
"Later. I have things to do. And if I start thinking about it right now, I will react badly."
Pursing his lips, Stuart watched him carefully but nodded.
"Later, then."
He turned to walk back into the inn, but paused when Alberic spoke again.
"Thank you for stopping the pain."
The words came out clipped and angry. Stuart nodded, then waved as he walked into the inn without glancing back.
"We should talk later."
Alberic took off towards the Portal Guild at a fast walk, still seething with anger. As he reached the door, he heard a cough behind him. Turning, he found Karen looking at him with curiosity.
"So what happened to twist you around the loop?"
Karen asked as she entered the building with him.
"I was just killed for the third time by an assassin,"
Alberic replied, his voice level, but the anger still clearly evident on his face.
"Someone took out a contract on you?"
"I seem to have upset the House of Gildan. They paid for me to die 3 times and to be told who had taken the contract out on me."
He stopped behind the person speaking to the receptionist and let out a deep breath.
"Sorry for my attitude right now, but I'm a little pissed. This time he used a convulsive poison that was taking 5% of my life per second while causing excruciating pain."
"Wow. I am so going to ask my trainer about that poison next time I see him. So who is the House of Gildan and how did you piss them off?"
Karen asked, smiling at the receptionist who greeted them.
"Hi. We need a group portal to the small keep that is near the southern orc area."
"Ah. A change of scenery is always good. The price is 1.5 gold each."
Alberic handed the 3 gold to the receptionist, earning him an arch look from Karen.
"I owed you from selling the junk from last night," Alberic said, forestalling Karen's argument.
"All right, okay then. Now, who is the House of Gildan?"
Karen said, as they went to the waiting area and found seats.
"A minor noble house that I seem to have pissed off. The only person I've upset to such a degree that I know of is a guard called Wilbur.
He's supposedly a son of that house. Karen waved her hand in a keep-going motion. Albert sighed and relayed the story of his encounters with Wilbur. Just as he was finishing up, the portal mage, Roland, came to get them.
So there it is, Albert said, nodding to Roland. You know everything I do.
By the time he finished his tale, he was also calm again.
Okay, the kid kept getting upset over being called Skippy. Weird, but okay,
Karen replied, shaking her head.
Probably the weirdest reason I've ever heard of to hire an assassin.
Yeah. So I'm going to speak with Captain Ramirez tomorrow. Maybe he can shed some more light on this topic for me.
Here we are, Roland said, motioning them into the room with a glowing glyph on the floor.
Karen stepped right on through while Albert pulled out one of his last few golds.
Thanks again, Roland.
Our pleasure, sir, and our thanks. You have been the only one of late who has tipped us consistently, and we appreciate that.
Roland bowed slightly.
We look forward to your continued patronage.
See you soon, I'm sure,
Albert replied with a smile before stepping onto the glyph. In a blink, he was standing in a fort half the size of the one near the goblin area, but with the same number of men stationed there. He glanced out the gate to see grassland stretching away with small groups of orcs, with really ugly wolves patrolling the area.
Orcs and wargs. So cliché, am I right?
Karen asked from beside him.
Shall we get going?
Albert called Tiny and Bob to him, then reapplied his demon skin.
Okay, I'm ready to kick ass and chew bubblegum.
There is no bubblegum here, Karen laughed. So just ass-kicking it will be.
Tiny grumbled.
Can I just cut them in half instead?
Bob laughed.
So simple, it hurts.
Rolling his eyes, Albert replied,
It means we are going to kill lots of stuff, Tiny, and yes, you can.
The group set off with Karen in the lead, as she knew the patrol points of the goblin messengers from her time in the Beta. As they went, they dispatched the few groups of roving orcs with wargs that they encountered. During the first combat, Albert learned something interesting when Tiny was tripped to the ground by a warg. Once combat was over, Karen shrugged.
Sorry, forgot to tell you. If they land a bite on your leg, they'll try to pull you down so you're more vulnerable to the orcs.
Good to know,
Albert said, as Tiny healed up as combat was over. So, new plan. Kill the wargs first so we don't have to worry about it as much.
I've been meaning to ask,
Karen said as they started moving again.
Why do you play with immersion all the way up?
I would love to tell you, but I can't at this time.
Albert apologized.
Mysterious. I just find it weird that you wanted to have full pain during the sparring matches.
I live dangerously. I'll find out in a few weeks what I can and can't discuss. If you're still around then, maybe you can find out.
Ha! Baiting the trap to keep my attention, right?
I thought being able to use me as a training dummy was enough, Albert chuckled.
Well, that is in your favor. Most guys either want to prove they're better than me, or they just leave. You're not doing either, which speaks to your favor,
Karen said, then seemed to fade out as she stealthed. Albert blinked, then noticed the group of orcs with a single warg coming towards them.
Ah, well spotted.
Turning to Tiny, he pointed to the group while applying the normal buffs to his minion.
You're up, Tiny.
It took them a little over an hour of running and fighting to get to the spot Karen wanted. When they sat down to rest for a moment, Albert noticed his mail icon blinking at him.
Message from Gerald. Hey, Albert. We would be glad to meet up for whatever you have in mind. Rather than me and Mary both sending you messages, I'm sending for both of us. Let me know where and we'll be there as quickly as we can.
Albert glanced at the timestamp, which showed as 2 minutes ago, before he sent back his reply with the info attached.
Karen, two will be joining us, a tank and a healer pair. I told them where we were so they should be along in an hour or so.
Sounds good, Karen replied, leaning back slightly as she sat on the grass.
"Orc's coming,"
Tiny rumbled as he waited for his buffs.
"Thank you, Tiny,"
Alberic said, buffing up his meat shield.
"Off you go."
Tiny charged the group as soon as Alberic said he was ready. As a group, they focused the warg down first before cleaning up the orcs. Alberic was very unimpressed by the orcs. Sure, they were two levels below him, but he was sure he would have been able to handle the packs of them even without Karen.
"You're doing a very good job, Tiny. You're making it so easy,"
Alberic said as the group healed up after the fight.
"Thank you, Master,"
Tiny rumbled as he looked around for the next group.
"So I'm what? Chopped rat livers?"
Bob groused. Chuckling, Alberic shook his head.
"No, thank you too, Bob. You have to admit, though, things are easier with Tiny around to take the brunt of the attacks."
"Yeah, but that's all he's good for,"
Bob said snidely.
"All he will ever be good for, in fact. When I improve, I get more utility, like a ranged area of effect spell. He gets a group taunt, but so what? It's not all that useful."
Tiny snorted.
"The weak always act so big."
Bob started to puff out his chest.
"Don't make me teach you a lesson, you overgrown—"
"Enough!"
Alberic snapped. He glared at Bob, then at Tiny.
"You are both valued minions to me. Each of you performs a role that is vital to my success, so stop this back and forth. Do I make myself clear?"
"Yes, Master,"
Tiny rumbled.
"But—"
Bob began, then shut up as Alberic glared at him.
"Yes, Master."
"Wow, just like a couple of kids, am I right?" Karen said with a shake of her head. "I had a pair of brothers in my last judo class like that. I kicked them both out after the second class because they couldn't behave."
"I don't deal with kids as a matter of course. The only one I had much contact with was my friend's daughter, and she never behaved like that,"
Alberic replied, his mind wandering back to Kaylee growing up.
"Something wrong?" Karen asked, a touch of concern in her voice.
Shaking his head, Alberic banished his thoughts. "No, just thinking of days gone by that won't come again."
"Next group coming,"
Tiny rumbled, interrupting the conversation. Alberic got to his feet, buffing Tiny again with the short-term buffs.
"I wonder if I get the option to extend the duration of the buffs later,"
he wondered aloud as he finished buffing Tiny.
"Good to go."
Tiny roared and stepped out to meet the orc patrol. As the group died, Alberic noted that even with all the bickering, Bob did his job and didn't try to pull aggro. After they looted the mobs, he turned to Bob.
"Bob, I do want to thank you as well. Even with the issue a moment ago, you're still doing everything right and not causing problems by trying to pull them off, Tiny."
"You would be unhappy if I did, which means I might be sent away for a time. I don't want that. All I want to do is kill your enemies for you,"
Bob said plainly with a shrug.
"Thank you for the kindness, though, Master."
Your standing with Bob has improved. You are now respected by Bob. Bob receives a 50% bonus stats and damage due to his happiness. Alberic blinked, then chuckled.
"Bob, you really are awesome."
Karen looked puzzled, so Alberic explained his chuckle to her. "Bob is now happy enough with me to view me with respect, which means he gets bonus stats and damage."
"Ah, so that's how minion happiness works," Karen said. "I wondered about that. I grouped with a summoner during the beta who was always complaining that his pet wasn't doing as much as it should. I guess he probably had negative happiness with his minion."
"Probably. Minion happiness is influenced by their loyalty. Bob and Tiny are the most loyal minions I could have chosen. The trade-off was that they were the weakest stat-wise. However, they gain happiness faster and lose happiness slower than the others would have. All in all, my minions are the best ones in the world."
Your standing with Tiny has improved. You are now respected by Tiny. Tiny receives a 50% bonus to stats and health due to his happiness. Alberic laughed.
"You're the best meat shield I could have chosen, Tiny."
Turning to Karen, he went on.
Apparently my little speech was enough to bump Tiny up to respect it as well.
You really should put that info up on the forums. Maybe that way people will stop thinking your class is so weak.
Nah, they can figure it out on their own. I always thought the best part of games was figuring things out.
Albert stopped and considered just how fast Tiny had caught Bob in happiness. After a moment of thought, he put it down to how much fighting they had been doing.
Any idea how long until we see the action we're here for?
Nope. That single tree over there should be the rendezvous point. Both orc and goblin messengers are known to stop at it periodically. So now we just have to wait. Your friends are on the way anyhow. Don't want them to miss out.
Point. We have been waiting a bit, so they should be well on their way. Albert said, grabbing his mind stone and tossing Mary Sue a message to see if she had any idea how much longer they would be. A minute later, he got a reply and informed Karen. They should be here in half an hour or so. They're crossing the grasslands now. I bet we'll be able to see them in 15 minutes or so.
That's good.
Karen started to reply, but got cut off by Tiny's rumbling voice.
Next pack is coming,
Tiny rumbled. Albert chuckled as he buffed Tiny up again. This was the best kind of grinding he enjoyed. The nice, easy packs that came to you one at a time with a decent break between.
Back to the grindstone.
The pack was put down with minimal difficulties, only Tiny taking any damage as was normal. Karen stretched and sighed.
This is boring. If it wasn't for this quest, I would say let's jump a bit and try something dangerous.
We can always do that after we're done here, Albert said, looking back the way they had come and seeing a group killing orcs.
I think those are the two I told you about.
Karen looked where he pointed and nodded.
Could be. Well, once they get here, hopefully it won't be long until the messengers show up. After that, we have a few hours before the rare shows up.
10 minutes later, Mary Sue and Gerald came running up. Gerald spoke up first.
Hey, Albert. I wondered what quest you were doing, and when you told me to meet you here, I hoped it was the messenger quest chain.
It is, Gerald, Albert said, then made introductions all around.
Karen added them to the group as Tiny called out another group of orcs inbound.
Tiny, take the warg and one orc. Gerald can tank the other two orcs.
He then slapped buffs onto the tanks as the mobs got closer. It was over quickly.
Gerald looked disappointed.
That was just sad.
Why were you holding back, Albert?
Albert held out his maul.
I pull aggro if I don't.
Gerald blinked after tapping the weapon.
What the fuck? You can't use that at this level. Hell, I can't use that at this level.
My gloves have a bit of a cheat to them. I can use any weapon regardless of strength required.
Albert shrugged.
Just one of them things.
It is good to see you again, Albert.
Mary Sue interrupted.
Have you seen Fluffball lately?
Nah, she took a few days off, I think.
Oh, that's too bad. I was hoping to group with her again.
I think she said she'll be on tomorrow if I got the days right. I was hoping she would make it for the quest, as it means good loot.
Master, I see two larger groups moving towards the tree.
Tiny rumbled to them.
Good timing, you two. Karen chuckled. Those are the groups we're waiting for. We need to kill them all. After that, we've got a 2-hour wait before the rare shows up to investigate.
Okay. Once they meet up, Tiny will tank the goblins, Gerald tanks the orcs. DPS burns the orcs first and then the goblins?
Albert said, looking at the two groups, each numbering 10 strong.
It's going to be a bit messy, but yeah, that would be best, Gerald said.
I have a mana potion, so I'll be able to keep the heals going.
Mary Sue stated.
All right, that's the plan,
Albert said.
We have a bit of a walk to get to them, so once they meet up, we'll run to them and start things off. Once we're there, I'll buff first, since I need to wait to damage them anyway.
In agreement, the group watched the two packs of mobs come together, then set off toward them at a run with Tiny and Gerald leading the way. They got to within a dozen yards before the mobs seemed to realize they were there. So intent were they on talking. Albert cast his buffs onto Tiny. Once those were in place, Tiny charged into the 10 goblins with fervor. As Gerald engaged the orcs, Albert slid in behind him and applied the 2 buffs he could,
Once he had buffs in place, he targeted the goblin shield bearers and cast sap strength on them to make them lose the shields. He did the same to the one orc with a shield, but it didn't drop it. Shrugging, he hefted his maul and stepped into the fray. As planned, Tiny had the full attention of all the goblins and Gerald all the orcs. Demonic retribution kept them fixated on Gerald. Karen picked out the caster and appeared behind him, her backstab taking away a good chunk of its life. Gerald didn't have good aggro on it yet, so he turned to face the assassin. Alberit, seeing the orc turn, joined in and hit it with the maul in the back of the head. The critical took off over 400 health and almost killed it. Karen's next attack dropped it dead.
"No more caster,"
Karen chuckled, joining in on the mob Gerald was attacking. Bob spoke up.
"Master, Tiny could use a hand with his caster."
Alberit dodged over to the goblin group, and with three hits killed the caster there before rebuffing Tiny with demonic vitality. Then he stepped back over to the orc group and set about damaging them. The fight, while long, wasn't exactly hard, with Mary Sue there to keep Gerald healed. The only one who came close to dying was Tiny, before Gerald was able to AoE taunt the goblins off of him. Once they were all dead, the group looted up and recovered health and mana. Quest completed. Stop the goblins and orcs meeting in the southern province. Receive 20 gold and increased reputation with all Stormguard guard factions. Return to the commander to receive the coins.
Not hard, just long, Gerald laughed. Your minions are way more useful than people give them credit for.
Thanks for inviting us. We also got credit for the quest. Oh, and ding, I leveled.
Me too, Mary Sue chimed in. Level 14 now.
Grants you two on the level. As for my minions, it's because I have a good relationship with them,
Albert replied. Bob and Tiny both view me with respect, which means 50% increases to their stats and main utility. Damage for Bob and health for Tiny.
Oh, is that how that works?
Mary Sue chimed in.
I'll let my friend know. He was having issues with his demons and just became an angelic summoner instead.
Bob sneered.
Fracking halo-wearing assholes that they are.
The whole group turned to look at Bob in surprise.
Seriously, why can't they just let beings do what they want? No, it's always do this or don't do that. Fracking hate those angelic assholes.
Don't hold back, Bob. Tell us how you really feel.
Karen piped up with a grin.
Belay that order, Albert interjected, shaking his head. I won't be switching teams, Bob, so you're safe with me.
Tiny rumbled.
I'm glad.
Anyway, we're just going to roam and kill stuff for the next few hours while we wait for the rare? Gerald asked. Everyone agreed that this sounded like a good idea. The group started roaming the grasslands, killing every group they encountered for the next hour and a half, before coming back to where they could keep an eye on the tree. Death Tracker Grug. The group killed another two patrols while they waited for the rare to show. The conversation between packs was all about comparing Alpha World to previous MMORPGs, and how the abilities were similar or different. Alberit was about to expand on how the summoner class was different from other games, when he noticed a very large orc suddenly appear by the tree. He focused on it and got a name and level for it. Death Tracker Grug, level 20. He blinked at the insane amount of hit points it had. 4,000 out of 4,000.
Hey, Karen, is this the guy? Albert asked.
Karen turned, and her ever-present smile blossomed.
Yes, that's him.
Oh, good. They still have him named the same and everything.
Gerald added.
Double the old hit points, though. Anything special we should know?
Albert queried as he started to buff Tiny. He'll stun the tank for 5 seconds at a time, so have Tiny ready to taunt him when I get stunned. I'll taunt back when Tiny gets stunned. That way we can keep him on a tank and not going after the healer. He also throws knives that cause a bleed effect. The debuff stacks so it can get nasty if the fight drags on. Gerald said as Albert started to buff him.
Other than that, standard tank and spank fight.
unless they tweaked him. Karen vanished after taking a step towards the tree.
See y'all there.
Albert grunted. We're ready. Let's go. Tiny, you heard the man. Follow the plan. Gerald and Tiny took off ahead of the others, so they'd be the ones to gain initial aggro. Grug looked up at them as they closed the distance, and a flurry of knives came at them. Each of them took a hit that placed a stack of the bleeding debuff, causing 5 health to be lost every 5 seconds. Gerald grunted as the knife grazed his cheek, just barely too slow getting his shield up to block it. As Tiny and Gerald swung for the first time, Grug howled in anger and slammed his foot into the ground. A shockwave pushed them all back a few feet and knocked Alberit, Mary Sue, and Bob to their knees. As they got back up, Gerald started his attack, gaining the main focus of the boss. Grug put his back to the tree, preventing the group from surrounding him. Karen appeared from above and slightly to the side, dropping from a branch to plunge her daggers into the orc. Alberit refreshed demonic vitality on Gerald, then cast sap strength on Grug as he waited to join into the fray. Bob was cackling happily as his fire blasts kept striking the orc in the feet, the leather boots providing less protection than the mail Grug wore elsewhere. Just before Albert plunged into the fray, another explosion of knives flew out from Grug, nicking all of them again and doubling the bleed damage to 10 every 5 seconds. Stepping into the melee, Albert noted that Grug used his 2 short swords to attack and defend equally well. Grug hadn't really perceived him as a threat yet, so he didn't try to block the first swing from the maul, only swaying slightly to take it on the shoulder instead of the head. When the maul impacted and tore away close to 200 health, Grug growled loudly. 1 fist lashed out, slamming into Gerald's jaw, stunning him for 5 seconds. As soon as the hit landed, Tiny roared, taunting Grug to focus on him as the primary threat. It worked, but Grug sent out another shockwave which pushed Karen and Albert back and dropped them to their knees. That gave Grug an opening to strike at Tiny with 1 blade while slashing Gerald with the other. Albert flinched in sympathy as the blade gashed Gerald on the neck, which was a definite critical. Mary Sue gasped, and a bright light flared around Gerald a bare fraction of a second later.
"That was my big instant heal. It's on cooldown for the next 2 minutes," Mary Sue told them as Gerald regained his lost hit points.
Albert and Karen got back into the fight as Gerald shook off the stun and started attacking again too. Albert swung his maul again, only to have Grug parry the swing past him and into the tree, which shuddered under the blow.
"Fucker learns fast," Albert said, as he stepped back to regain his balance.
Albert checked the health of Grug, to find it still at 3,346 out of 4,000, and sighed. This fight was going to take time. It occurred to him that both the bleed attack from the knives and the stun used Grug's hands. Albert felt a smile cross his face as he considered a radical option.
"Tiny, Gerald, I have a really fucked up plan, but I think it will work."
Another explosion of knives erupted from Grug as the orc's hands blurred. Another stack of the bleeding debuffs stacked onto all of them, taking them to 15 health lost every 5 seconds.
"Stop trying to attack him and pin his arms. Take a hit if you need to do it. Otherwise, we might not be able to finish him before we all bleed out."
Gerald shook his head. "That's stupid." Tiny grunted as he dropped his shield and axe, lunging in to grab Grug's left arm with both of his. Grug's sword scored a deep cut across Tiny's chest in return, but Tiny held the arm firmly.
"Got him, master,"
Tiny grunted, as Albert ducked around behind Tiny to hit him with demonic vitality. Gerald cussed, but also dropped his sword and shield before grabbing at Grug's other arm. Grug managed to cut Gerald across the hip before Gerald managed to corral the second arm and hold on.
"Why are we doing this?"
Gerald called out, annoyed at this change of plans.
"Because now he can't stun you, and the shockwave doesn't knock you guys down,"
Albert called out, as he stepped in between the two holding Grug, smiling wickedly. The maul went back, coming down on top of Grug's head for a critical hit that took a little over 400 health away.
Now that's what I'm talking about,
Alberet laughed.
That is so fucking wrong, Karen laughed as she knelt down and stabbed at Grug's knees. You think the devs considered people doing this?
Maybe, but probably not, Gerald grunted. In previous VR games, we didn't have the full immersion we have here, which is what's letting us do this.
Alberet kept pulling back and taking chunks from Grug, who eventually did his special attack, knocking him and Karen back and down. However, since he didn't have his arms free, he couldn't stack any more bleeds or stun his attackers. The fight went much more easily than it should, and Grug dropped quickly. A minute later, the bleeds wore off, with no one dropping under half, thanks to Mary Sue's healing. Both Karen and Alberet leveled when Grug died, to congratulations from the others.
Well, that was certainly a little lackluster once he was pinned, Karen laughed as she touched the body to bring up the loot. Oh, some nice stuff here, too.
She set the loot out before them so they could all see what was there.
I want the boots, Karen said quickly. They give a boost to stealth, which is how he just suddenly appeared.
The others agreed that was the best for her and didn't object as she took them. Mary Sue ended up with a chainmail coif that gave a bonus to intelligence and wisdom. Gerald took the shield that let him cancel a single negative effect on him once every 5 minutes. Alberet ended up with a two-handed axe that was better than the maul he had been using, but like his maul had no other stats.
This will be nice once the maul breaks. Thanks to the assassin, its durability has really taken a hit, Alberet said, putting the axe into his bag.
He did note the 10 gold he also had suddenly acquired when the orc died.
So that's that, then.
That was way better than I thought it was going to be. Thanks for coming, you two, Karen said to Gerald and Mary Sue. Want to trade info so we can group up again sometime?
The three of them tapped mind stones before Gerald and Mary Sue dropped the group and vanished, both of them citing real-life things to do.
Well, that was fun. Any other plans for the night? Alberet asked.
Yes, but I need a break for a few hours, Karen said, her customary smirk back in place. Don't forget to see the commander for your gold. Where would you like to meet in Stormguard later to celebrate our success?
I've been over at the Dead Man Inn. Good food there, Alberet replied. I need to see about another set of clothes as well. That assassin really fucked up my gear by killing me 3 times.
Okay, so meet up at the inn in 3 hours?
Works. See you there, Karen.
Karen nodded, pulling her homestone and using it. Alberet turned to Tiny and Bob.
Okay, take a break, guys. I'm going to head back to Stormguard.
He pulled out his homestone as the demons vanished. Once he appeared in the graveyard, Alberet opened up his character screen to apply his stat points. When that was done, he checked what spell he received at level 13, which turned out to be Demonic Retribution rank 2. Alberet read over the updated spell, seeing that the damage had doubled to 10, and the mana cost to cast was increased to 50. It still only lasted 5 minutes. Shrugging, mildly nonplussed, only getting an upgraded spell rather than a new one, he wandered off to sell the stuff he'd looted during the day. As he walked, it struck him again how alive the city was, with people moving about, going about personal business. He had to dodge around a pair of old women, who suddenly stopped in front of him to start talking about their grandkids. His sudden swerve caused both of them to eye him warily, but he only grinned at them as he kept on going. In a good mood, he reached the leather shop, tanned hides, the small bell attached to the door announcing his entry. He heard the owner, Almira Smoothskin, arguing with a customer over the price of a hardened leather chest piece.
I'm telling you, that is the final price. If you don't like it, take your business elsewhere. I would tell you to try making a piece like this yourself, but you two sold can't craft anything.
The customer sneered at Almira.
Uppity fucking elf bitch! Maybe someone should teach you that the customer is always right.
The customer tossed her blonde hair back over her shoulder as the condescending words cascaded from her lips.
You won't make any money from me or my friends once I tell them about your shitty service, fucking NPC.
The player stormed out of the shop, leaving the door open as she went.
Alberich calmly shut the door, shaking his head in exasperation at how people acted even in a game. Turning, he saw that Almira was looking at him with a stern gaze, as if to ask if he was going to start as well. A small smile quirked his lips as he gave her a small bow.
"I promise I am much more civil, Miss Smoothskin. I have just come to sell off some of this loot I've picked up today."
Almira sighed softly, nodding.
"Of course. I'm glad the Crown pays us for doing this. Otherwise I would be turning people away. You two sold are very industrious when it comes to killing monsters in the wilds."
"And some of us even know how to speak properly."
Alberich chuckled.
"Or at least politely."
He began to lay out the leather he'd looted, setting aside a few pieces. Once he had all the leather out, he took those pieces he set aside and equipped them. It wasn't better than his demon skin, but he could wear it without giving away his relation to demons.
"Okay, all of this here is what I'd like to sell."
Almira took her time checking the loot before nodding.
"I'll take it. I'm curious why you didn't equip some of it out in the field."
Alberich looked away before replying.
"I have an ability that hardens my skin to equal to this, but it lowers my ability to interact with people."
One of Almira's eyebrows went up.
"Summoner."
Shrugging, Alberich nodded.
"I understand if you do not want me back in the shop."
Pursing her lips, Almira sighed.
"I don't discriminate based on vocation, and you haven't struck me as a bad person. So for now I will continue to treat you as a valued customer." The customer who just left was a paladin, for frack's sake, and she was way less pleasant than you've been.
Chuckling, Alberich replied,
"Yeah, a lot of us are self-absorbed, sadly. I thank you for treating me fairly. Goodness knows many don't, including among the city guards."
Almira held out several gold coins.
6 gold for the lot."
Taking the coin, he thanked her before heading to the chain armor shop to sell off mail armor. He went to Grimgar's last with a bounce to his step as he entered. A small bell jingled, announcing him, which brought Grimgar from the back of the shop.
"Afternoon, Grimgar."
Alberich greeted the owner as he went to the counter and began to unload weapons.
"How's business today?" "Welcome back, lad. Business be fine,"
Grimgar replied as he checked the weapons Alberich was laying out on the counter.
"Seems you've been busy, eh?"
"Orc slaying for the most part. Need to go see a tailor after this. My clothes have taken a beating."
"It does me glad to see you wearing some armor at least,"
Grimgar said, counting out gold.
"I can give you 8 gold for the lot. How is the mall working out?"
"I'll take it,"
Alberich replied. "It was wonderful.
Unfortunately, the durability has taken a huge hit. I got killed 3 times by an assassin, which really did a number on it."
"Ach, why you be messing with that ugly lot? It wasn't my plan, but I pissed off a minor noble house and they got their panties in a twist. So they decided having me killed 3 times was the answer. It's over now. I plan to look into why the kid I pissed off thought 3 times was the magic number."
Shaking his head, Grimgar sighed.
"Ach, if it was a young noble, then you might never find out, as most of them be without reason at all."
Laughing, Alberich put the gold away before turning to the door.
"Right you are, Grimgar. See you later."
"Aye, lad. Be safe, and try not to run afoul of them assassins again, eh?"
Stepping out into the street, Alberich paused to soak in the sights. He was still impressed by how alive the game was. The NPCs acted like people would in real life, from those who were simply going about the business of day-to-day life to the shop owners. He smiled as he watched a brother and sister playing tag around a put-upon-looking woman who was probably their mother. He set off to the tailor to see about new clothes and to check on the set Mrs. Wilson, the tailor, was making for him. Alberich entered Silken Needles, smiling at the simple jingle bells that announced people entering shops. Margaret was behind the counter. She looked up with a polite smile on her face that widened when she saw it was him.
"Welcome back, Alberich. Your clothes should be done tomorrow."
Returning the smile, Alberich nodded.
"My thanks.
But what I came for right now is to see about another set of clothes, for day-to-day wear. These have done me well, but sadly they've taken a rather severe beating over the last few days.